Good evening, friends. It's great to be together on this wonderful occasion. So thrilled. If you're new here or just visiting with us tonight, we're super glad to have you. I don't know about you, but I have fond memories waiting for Christmas as a child. It was almost a magical evening. The joy was hard to contain. Visiting grandparents, friends, turkeys, gifts given and received. I got a little older and the feelings of enchantment just seemed to grow. Christmas Eve became a big deal to me, highlighted by playing "What Child Is This" on my violin. You know, somehow even as adults, we work at holding on to these feelings. We've sentimentalized Christmas though, haven't we? Look into the manger. Who do you see? Baby Jesus? No room for them in the inn? Mary giving birth upon arrival in Bethlehem. Those are the details of the story, but what if I invited you to look again, anew, afresh, and gaze into the midst of what is present, who is present, and the circumstances that surrounded this event and the resulting consequences? Who do you see when you look into the events of this evening over 2,000 years ago? Well, let me share a few things with you for a few minutes tonight that I've learned during Advent this year. First, Advent begins in the dark. And I want to invite you as a way to enter into this reality. Can I encourage you to just take 20 seconds and make your room as dark as possible? I know it's mostly dark already. I can see that on the screen, but I'm going to actually blow my candles out of the Advent wreath because we're going to spend time lighting it together during my talk. So 20 seconds, and let's even get rid of some of the candles and make the room as dark as we can. Hear the opening words of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. You've heard similar words before somewhere, haven't you? Yeah, in the very beginning of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created. His Spirit hovered over the deep," or chaos in another translation. "And he spoke words and things came into being." Other creation stories had the gods fighting each other and creating chaos. But God spoke and created order out of chaos. John's telling us that the Word, the Messiah, the Christ, was there from day one. But before he created, it was dark. The absence of light. I don't know about you, but this year feels very dark. Racial tensions, massive protests, disasters, natural and man-made, economic crisis, and add to the list a worldwide pandemic that to date has taken 1.75 million lives. Many have faced sickness or the loss of loved ones. Others have faced loss of jobs or houses even. Many are facing the loss of time with loved ones over these holidays. We want to avoid the darkness, to turn away and to run and look for solutions in some other way. But friends, Advent begins in darkness, and it invites us to look intently in and through the darkness for what will emerge. You see, Advent marks the beginning of the Christian calendar. It's the end of what we knew in the beginning, or the realization that life needs to be created again. The one who created life will begin to recreate us, life in us again. But it starts in darkness. Advent is a season of peace, an inner sense of confidence, even in the darkness, that the one who created order out of chaos is in charge of all things. I learned this week that during that Charlie Brown clip that we watched and that I love so much, that when Linus gets to the point where he's talking about the angel saying, do not be afraid, he drops his blanket, his confidence blanket. He drops it because now his confidence can be placed in a different person. So friends, with your wreath close by and your candles there, come with me and let's light the first candle, a candle of peace, believing that God is in control. I learned something else. I was reminded that Advent is the season of waiting patiently, not running from problem to problem, but gazing deeply into the midst of the darkness, waiting with hope that something more will emerge. John said in his gospel, as we heard Beth read it earlier, he said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, our hope is not in the avoidance of the darkness or in the immediacy of getting the answer or circumstances we desire. Our hope is in the source of life, who not only created order out of chaos, but will make all broken things new. He will emerge through the darkness. The Jews knew darkness, but they also knew hope. Slavery in Egypt, exile in Babylon, wars, famines, civil unrest, corrupt governments, madmen and lunatics leading the country. Oh, wait. But there was a promise. A promise of one to come who would save them from all of this. They couldn't wait. You know, as children, we could hardly wait for Christmas. Today, as adults, we can hardly wait for the end of COVID. We hope. We have hope, not just in a vaccine, although there's nothing wrong with looking forward to that, but we have hope in the promise of the reality that Christ will come and emerge through the darkness. But we must wait. We refrain from rushing. We've refrain from fast forwarding, because in the rushing, we may miss out on what he has to say. Did you know that for a long time, those in the Anglican tradition waited until Christmas Eve to even put up their tree? Today, we rush the season. Stores now advertise Christmas consumption the day after Halloween. Starbucks brings out the Christmas cups early in November. We rush into the season that we've sentimentalized. We want to avoid the darkness at all costs. Instead of learning to wait, wait for the light of life to emerge from within the darkness, order out of chaos. We rush and run the risk of missing the very one we've been waiting for. So friends, join me in lighting the second candle, sense that we have of hope. I learned a third thing. Advent is a conviction that Christ will come. You know, sometimes we wait in vain for things, wondering if what we're waiting for will ever happen. Like waiting for a bus sometimes that never shows up, or waiting for the Canucks to win the Stanley Cup. But as the Jews waited for their promised Messiah, they did not just wait, they waited with conviction. The Christ will come. Even in the midst of difficult times, their conviction was that the promise would come true. You know, when we see people live by their convictions, it's impressive. These convictions shape the whole of their lives. They live according to these convictions, sort of out of a foundation for every decision and every action that they make. They're not wishy-washy, but they hold firm. Advent is the season where we begin in darkness, wait for the promise, but we wait with it with such conviction that our lives reflect a solid foundation, not tossed back and forth by the waves, but solid, rock solid. John said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. See, John the Baptist spoke of the promise that the Jews were waiting for, and he assured the people that the time was near. He spoke truth about the coming Christ, so that all the people would have this deep conviction that they were not just involved in wishful thinking, but rather their hope was put in the one to come. John wrote in chapter 3 of his gospel, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God loves us. And that's the third candle that we're going to light tonight. So take a second out and join me in lighting the third candle that symbolizes the love that God has for us in sending his Son. Fourthly, I learned that Advent is the belief, not only that Christ will come, but that Christ has come. He's turned the world upside down. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Can you imagine being a shepherd in the field that night when the host of angels appeared declaring the best news the world has ever heard? John continues in his passage in chapter 1 by saying, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." When you look in the manger, who do you see? This is the most important question one can ever be asked to answer. He's either a sweet, sentimental little baby or king, a savior who has come to rescue his people from their sin. Oh, we don't like to talk about sin much anymore. You know, my neighbor and friend across the back fence, Woody, he sends me these funny pictures every week. This week he sent me one of what he called Mad Santa, a whole bunch of crazy cartoons that were all sort of tied to what Santa would be like. And one of them caught my attention. It was Santa talking to Mrs. Claus about the fact that he doesn't keep lists anymore. He says, "You know, I don't keep lists anymore because it used to be that we would judge people to be naughty or nice, but we're not allowed to do that anymore." Sin is the arrogance that we have to tell God that we know better than he does and to do our own thing when in his great love, he was always looking out for our best. Joy is not found in our circumstances. It's not found in them always working in our favor, but joy is found in the one who holds us in the midst of any and all circumstances, our identity being rooted in him because we've been born again. We have to decide. We have to decide whether we will receive the light or pass it by. We began in darkness, waiting with conviction that the promise would come true. Christ will come, and Christ has come. Let's light this fourth candle together that symbolizes the joy that we have in making a decision for Jesus. Well, my final and perhaps biggest takeaway from Advent this year is found in the reality that it's not just about waiting. Christ will come, Christ has come, but that we are waiting now, not just for the first coming of Christ, but rather for the second coming of Christ. Christ will come again. John in chapter 1, verse 14, goes on in this section by saying, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I love this. John is clear. Christ has moved into the neighborhood and made his dwelling in our midst. But this baby in a manger, the one who saves us from our sin and will not stand for injustice, has also made it clear that he would leave and go back to the Father and prepare a place for us. He would not leave us as orphans, but instead would fill us with his Spirit so that we might indeed live the life that he'd created us for. See, Jesus came into our reality, humbled himself, took on flesh, becoming like us. He was obedient to the Father, even to the point of death on a cross. Darkness. Death in our place. Death to claim the victory. Death to defeat the powers. But there was and is more. Jesus entered our reality on that night over 2,000 years ago so that he might reveal the Father to us. He entered our reality to show us the way to live. He became a human so that we might see what it looks like to live life to the fullest. And so, Advent is a season in which we wait again for his return. We wait with conviction that the promise that Christ will come again is one day to happen. Christ will come. Christ has come. And we wait now with conviction that what Jesus said is true, that he was going to leave and send the Spirit to guide us and convict us. So we wait. We live with more conviction than we can ever imagine because we've put all of our confidence into the reality that this baby is not some sweet sentimental story, but rather a revolutionary figure that has changed the world. He is the king. Oh, not of any local or national government that changes hands every 4 or 5 years, but of an eternal kingdom where he will reign forever and ever. But for today, we celebrate that we have hope, that we have peace, that we have love, that we have joy, not because we get what we want or our circumstances work out. No, we have all of these because the light of the world has come and will come again and breathe life into us. It's not the absence of darkness, but it is in looking deeply into the darkness in which we find ourselves for the light to emerge that brings us life. So friends, we must now live as reflectors of this light. In the same way as we see evidence that the sun will rise shortly before it crests the hill, so too the world shall see evidence of the presence of the light of the world in and through his people, even before he returns. His light reflects in us, his people. So join me, friends, and let's light this last candle, the Christ candle, believing that Christ will come, Christ has come, and Christ will come again, for that is what brings us life. Let's light this candle and sing traditionally our final two carols as we end our evening together.